Friday edition from 5 to 8 a.m. on member-supported WPFW Washington, 89.3 FM.
Welcome to WPFW Washington. This is the Hour of We the People. I'm your host, David Whetstone, right here on your Jazz and Justice radio station for more than 48 years due to listeners like yourselves financially and socially supporting this station. If you're new to We the People, it's a news magazine. It comes on every Wednesday as it's terrestrially broadcast, and we cover the issues of history, politics, race, and culture, particularly where they intersect, particularly where people have given us examples of their hard work and efforts in the past and the present, and hopefully together we secure a good future for our communities. Our topic today is data centers. Data centers power the modern world, whether it's through AI, artificial intelligence, or other computer functions. No aspect of our present everyday life remains untouched by their influence and impact. Data centers may be here to stay, but are our lives and environments sustainable with them? To answer that question and to tell us more, we have two guests. Elizabeth Bauer is the founding board member and serves as chair of Envision Frederick County, a 15-year-old nonprofit, nonpartisan organization focusing on informed public discourse and active community engagement. She's a long-term resident of Frederick County and a community activist for more than 20 years. Her recent focus has been on the Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project and Data Center growth in Frederick County. Most recently, she is a founding member and serves on the editorial board of the Maryland Data Centers Analysis Group, which assists local groups statewide with their focus on local data center policies. Also joining us is Julie Bolthouse. Ms. Bolthouse is the director of land use for the Piedmont Environmental Council. She grew up in Fairfax, Loudoun, and Clark counties. She attended Virginia Tech, receiving a BS in fishery science with a minor in watershed management, and later she went on to receive master's degrees in urban and regional planning and in natural resources. Good morning, ladies, and thank you for being with us.
Good morning.
Let's start with the basics. Since I cited your organizations, can you tell us each what your different groups do? Let's start with Elizabeth Bauer.
So Envision Frederick County, as you mentioned, is a nonprofit, and We're basically focused on engaging, educating, and engaging the community in issues that we face on a daily basis. The Maryland Data Center's analysis group was created recently because we found that there is so much misinformation that is being shared, and it is creating so much. I don't like to use this word lightly, but it's creating some hysteria in the governance in the county, and trying to put the ordinances in place to protect the community and so on. And so what we are doing is taking complex information and trying to prepare it in a very digestible format. So we're trying to share information with both the public and then the policymakers.
All right, and thank you. Julie Bolthouse, tell us about the Piedmont, Environmental Council.
Yeah, our organization is also a 501c3 nonprofit. We've been around since 1972, so we're a very old nonprofit, you know, came out of the era of the Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, all that good stuff. Our mission is to protect the lands and waters of the Virginia Piedmont and build strong communities. And so part of the reason that we got into the data center space was because it was such a huge impact, a land use impact on our region, having the largest data center market in the world in Loudoun County, which is part of our region, which goes from basically Northern Virginia down to Albemarle County, Charlottesville area. And that was unavoidable, those impacts that were coming from that explosive growth of data centers in our region, not just in Loudoun now, but extending all the way down through our region, down the I-95 corridor and all the way down to Richmond. The impact of all that data center growth has hit on basically every conservation kind of bucket that we've always focused on, everything from water to air to historic preservation to our community planning and transportation systems. It really touches on everything. And so we had to go into this issue full throttle, and we have.
Okay, and thank you for those descriptions. Again, to further our listeners, our audience's understanding of data centers, I will defer to both of you, but you mentioned the I-95 corridor, and that corridor touches what's known as Data Center Alley. People, if they look to their left or to their right, but while they're carefully driving, will notice really huge, beyond your normal conceptualization of factories, huge complexes dotting their trip southward into Virginia from Washington, D.C. This area is distinctive, as you said, Ms. Bolthouse. It holds basically a lion's share of data centers. And the top five states, I'll just mention them, are California with 329, Texas with 409 data centers, Illinois with 245, Ohio with 193. But Virginia, as far as I've seen in latest research, holds on to about 663 data centers, which are of different scale. The buildings I describe are often referred to as hyperscale data centers, and we can explain that. We can explain their use and power and activity in terms of megawatts. My understanding is, depending upon the size of a house, 1 megawatt could be equivalent to the electrical supply of, let's say, 6,500 homes. That's just to give people a sense of scale. Why are data centers here with us? Well, perhaps you're streaming a movie. Perhaps you're sending an email. Perhaps you need networking through your internet. All that and more is brought to you by these data centers. And no doubt, we've all been exposed to how there's a techno-utopian ideal of how artificial intelligence is going to solve many problems and put us into new ventures and new activities affecting our lives. Hope I did a good enough job with that, ladies. Ms. Bolthouse, why don't you tell us more about why Virginia's unique, and then I'll bridge to Elizabeth Bauer in just a moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, you did a great job summing it up. I will just highlight a couple things to make it even more clear, I think. In Virginia alone, we have about 6 to 7 gigawatts worth of data center capacity. Compared to the global data center capacity, which is, I mean, estimates vary, but it's around 100 to 150 gigawatts. And so this is a huge portion of the global load out there. And what's really what we're really dealing with is 47 gigawatts worth of contracted capacity that the data center industry has agreed has committed to contracts with the utilities in our region, specifically Dominion Energy. And so when you think about that, we're going from 6 gigawatts of current capacity to potentially 47 gigawatts into the future. And so when people say, "Oh, what's your phone?" I push back on that a little bit because it is. I mean, absolutely, data centers are running the digital age. They're running our phones, are running this conversation right now on Zoom. They're running all of this infrastructure, and cloud storage is a large component of the data center space. But what's really driving this boom, these massive gigawatt, which is 1,000 megawatts, need for power is generative AI. Generative AI and the speculation around it becoming this huge thing that everybody is going to have integrated into every part of our life. And so if that, you know, that trend continues, that means a whole lot of energy infrastructure. So the entire grid right now in our region of Virginia, Dominion Energy service area, is about 23 gigawatt peak. 6 to 7 gigawatts of that is data centers. So 33% or so of, well, maybe like 25 to 30%, 33% of the load is data centers. Now, if we add 47 gigawatts as is under contract right now, we are dwarfing the rest of the load on the grid. And so when I say that, you know, we have explosive growth, in this region, I really mean it's absolutely explosive. And what has led to that, and what has led to some of the community outcry, is again, there's a lot of speculation, but also these data centers are pushing out into communities, and they're having huge impacts on neighborhoods, on houses, and then the transmission infrastructure that connects to them, that needs to deliver power to them, is having huge impacts on communities. And then you have the generation facilities, which is your gas plants and things like that, that are also having huge impacts on communities. Like there's a proposal for the Chesterfield gas plant in Virginia, which is going to have devastating public health impacts on the community that already has been impacted by past generation facilities that we've you know, taken offline. So all of that is just to say that all of this is adding up to more and more generation facilities, more and more community impacts. There's very little transparency around these projects, which has upset a lot of communities. So these things come in, and we don't understand all the things that are coming with it later. There's no oversight at the state level of these big scale impacts, these regional impacts like grid infrastructure and generation that's going to be required, and the cost to ratepayers for building all of that generation, all that transmission stuff. And, you know, all the cumulative impacts that are building up from air pollution, water consumption, and all of that. So I'll wrap it up there and say that's what we're facing in Virginia.
Wow. The listeners, you're listening to We the People. I'm your host, David Weston. Most importantly, pay attention to our guests and topic. The topic is data centers. You just heard from Julie Bolthouse, who's the Director of Land Use for the Piedmont Environmental Council. We're now going to hear from Elizabeth Bauer, who's a founding board member and chair of Envision Frederick County and part of the Maryland Data Centers Analysis Group. Elizabeth, as we're going to you, Julie has made it very clear that in most municipalities, in most regions, the advent, use that advisedly, of data centers is outstripping policy and regulation and present infrastructure. And Julie, if I may add, you mentioned water use. data centers require anywhere from hundreds of thousands to millions of gallons of water daily. You got to keep those computers and electronics cool, folks. So, Elizabeth Bauer, is the situation the same up in Frederick County, up in Maryland? What can you tell us?
Well, the situation in Frederick County is evolving. Unlike Loudoun County, who was already developed and dealing with the impact of all of these data centers, Frederick County is just in the, we're about 5 years into the process of building the data center campus. So we have an old East Alco smelting plant that was left empty for several years, and it was purchased in 2021 to build the data center campus that is under construction right now. It's a 2,100 acre campus, and there's several, Catalyst is the developer of the data centers. It's Align Data Center and Rowan, who are currently planning on building there, or who are under construction there, and Amazon is one of the renters of space. But what's interesting in Frederick County is, first of all, we've got some lessons learned from what's going on in Loudoun County. We certainly don't want the sprawl that Loudoun County has experienced. So we are in the process of just now working on all of the ordinances that go along with the development of these data centers. So back in 2021, the zoning changed to allow for data centers to be developed, but not until this year was a siting ordinance developed and passed by the county council. And then an overlay was passed by the county council. And where we're sitting right now, the overlay was meant to prevent by right development, meaning anybody with industrial or general industrial or light industrial land could put in an application for a data center. The county executive and the county council said, no, we don't want that to happen. So we're going to put an overlay zone over this East Alco area in southern Frederick County. Well, the overlay zone is all well and good. We've got a specific area for it and an additional 2,500 acres that could be developed. But now we're working on a map and looking at what's already been approved, and do we want to add additional land to that map? The problem is a lot of that land is in preservation and rural legacy. They're in, zoned that way, and some of them are actually using those easements. So it becomes difficult. It means we have to rezone. So on December 16th, our county council will be looking at the Planning Commission's overlay map to determine whether or not they want to go along with what the Planning Commission suggested, which was don't expand. Let's finish what we've got and do not expand beyond this original area. So we'll find out. December 16th is when the county council will discuss this, when the public hearing will be. And then 1 week later, they plan to vote on it. So.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth Bauer, for that overview. I would just remind listeners, particularly as we emanate and radiate out from the Washington, D.C. area, when you're going up to Frederick County, Maryland, you're beginning to enter, not that D.C. and Virginia don't have these sites, but there's, you know, important Civil War and other historical sites that are replete throughout the county. Mm-hmm. Dare I add a little color and say, which add to the physical beauty and the beauty of the people who reside in Frederick County. So this is not a matter of whim and fancy. Again, it seems like what's popping up in our comments is that sources of data centers, which are getting some sense of public, tremendous public subsidy. So we're subsidizing Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft, Apple, with tremendous, extraordinary precedent-setting infrastructure, which clearly impacts the lives of people. one reason to acknowledge this is I'm mindful. I was trying to pay attention to what's going on in Prince George's County in Maryland as well. And I know, again, it's a situation where I wish I had somebody who could calibrate this for us, but that the existing policy and regulations may not meet every need involved with this concern. That has certainly been the case, and let me acknowledge, since we're national and international in scope here at WPFW, in Memphis, there's a tremendous battle. Elon Musk has an AI data center that's contributing greatly to air pollution and other problems to communities of color. So the pattern here seems to be data center industry interests can identify large open areas or large existent buildings and become quite attractive to regional officials. What might be further reservations? I want to beg the issue. Obviously, there's the mixture of tax abatement along with big construction. But that infusion of prosperity and growth is not what it seems. Why don't we go back to Julie Bolthouse and see if you could just expand on that comment of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that you were pointing to the subsidies that are happening for big tech in general, because I think that is a critical component of this. Not only are we building out the grid infrastructure, which is falling, that cost is falling onto all the ratepayers for new generation facilities in the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars worth of new grid infrastructure, but also Virginia has a huge sales tax exemption for this industry, largest for any industry. It's approaching $1 billion a year annually going to this industry in a state where, honestly, the industry has shown they would want to locate anyway. We don't need to incentivize them with sales tax exemptions. And what that creates is a burden on the rest of the state while the local revenue is all that's collected. And so the localities that have data centers like Loudoun County have this, you know, influx of local revenue, but the rest of the state is bearing the burden of the sales tax exemption that we're not getting from the industry, while they also have to bear the cost of all that energy infrastructure. And then, of course, you just have those subsidies that are always the externalities of this kind of growth that are never really incorporated in, which is the public health costs of these generators and gas plants on the surrounding communities. And the honestly, the economic cost of having transmission lines cut through rural economies, I mean, cutting through agritourism and making it so that that agricultural economy is no longer viable. So that's the kind of cost that I'm seeing here in Virginia. And I think that that's really permeating out into other places as well. I mean, other states is what I mean.
Well, Elizabeth Bauer, have you seen the same thing in Maryland, for instance?
Well, yes. And interestingly, in Maryland, one of the things that we are also facing is the expansion of the grid. So in order to help with the energy needs for Loudoun County, there's a proposed project, the Maryland Piedmont Reliability Project, which is a transmission line running from Northern Baltimore County PA line through Maryland and connecting over at Goose Creek in Loudoun County. This transmission line, excuse me, is costing the Maryland ratepayers to develop it. It has created quite a nightmare because there are several lawsuits that are currently being determined in the courts, because the utility company comes out of New Jersey and is looking for eminent domain to access the properties. Most of them, or many of them, are farms, agritourism businesses that could be devastated if this transmission line goes through their properties. So we're facing some additional problems or expenses that the ratepayers are all incurring on top of just the electric rates that are going up because of data centers. But now we're talking the transmission lines, the power for these data centers. And the more data centers, the more power lines you're going to see. So this is just going to continue to get worse.
Well, I'm glad you pointed out that the rates, utility rates, go up. I'll give you the top four states. And this is a combination of some research with Bloomberg and CNN and MSNBC. Mm-hmm. The rates have gone up in North Dakota by 33%, a third, in Iowa by 27%, in Missouri by 38%, and in New Jersey by 28%. Forgive me for failing to mention or dig out Maryland and Virginia, but perhaps one of you can add to that later. Mm-hmm. I want to also add two other little factoids and then leave it alone. Governors in Illinois, Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware have all asked utilities to call on plans to lower cost. They realize the threat is imminent. And AI growth by industry measures by 2030, well, that industry will experience at least a 42% growth in its present level. And you're talking about, and the figures really range, but you're talking about a market that's minimally a little over $1 trillion. Some people say as much as $5 trillion, depending upon your measures. So again, this is some powerful, no pun intended, currents that we're dealing with here. And it really behooves us to pay attention to something. To my two guests, thank you for being with us. We're approaching the halfway point in our show. I'm going to signal to our air control, since we're approaching that halfway mark, that we continue to do what we do here at WPFW, your Jazz and Justice radio station. We try to build better communities, a better world, one broadcast at a time. Part of that effort is through public service announcements. I ask listeners to stick with us. The topic is data centers right here on We the People, right here at 89.3 FM. WPFW. We'll be back shortly. Won't you stick with us, folks?
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice, wherever you are.
The Capital Area Food Bank is offering free food distribution for federal workers starting now until the government reopens. Federal employees and contractors will need to show a government work ID to receive food. Distribution times and sites are as follows. Tuesdays, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at No Limits Outreach Ministries, 7721 Barlow Road, Hyattsville, Maryland. Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at So What Else, 6116 Executive Boulevard, North Bethesda, Maryland. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at United Community, 7511 Fordston Road, Alexandria, Virginia. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Urban Outreach, 5343 C Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Linda Ben Foundation, 10739 Tucker Street, Beltsville, Maryland. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
And welcome back to We the People. I'm your host, David Whetstone. More importantly, please focus your attention on the topic at hand, data centers. We have Elizabeth Bauer, who's a founding board member and chair of Envision Frederick County, and also serves on the Maryland Data Centers Analysis Group. And we have Julie Bolthouse, who's the director of land use for the Piedmont Environmental Council. Again, we're talking about data centers, folks. And before we return to our conversation, a friendly reminder, first of all, a hearty thank you for those of you who have supported us through our fall pledge drive. Just really modestly and quickly, it takes about $350,000 to pay bills and staff and to bring you the offerings of 100 plus programmers like Africa Now. I've won with host Moisa Mutale talking about African descended people, not only in the continent, but throughout the world. At two, Zen El Amin and Sheikh Wanana, which covers Middle Eastern affairs. At three, going on to 5 o'clock, Sophie's Parlor, music and culture by women, but for everyone. Those are the kind of things that your wherewithal, both social and financial, indeed support. And many of these programmers try to make their shows available not only through the WPFW.org archives, but also on various social media platforms. Thank you for your support, folks, and thank you for sticking with us for more than 48 years bringing you jazz and justice. I'm grateful, along with staff and programmers. Thank you. Oh boy, data centers, here we go. We've been talking about their rapid growth and their influence on the regional area from where we broadcast. What is troublesome to me as an observer is that as a believer in deep democracy and active citizenry, it sounds like your groups and the people who join you are doing a lot of work that officials should be doing, that regulations reasonably are the accountability mechanisms that we should have. And so I need to ask you a dicey question. I mentioned the Memphis situation where those that a mega data center is going up without complying with environmental regulations, without asking for permissions. Has this been the record or within the experiences of your regions? Why don't we start with Julie Bolthouse first?
So I'm a little bit familiar with what's happening in Memphis, Tennessee, and I will say that that is egregious. I mean, it's on a new level that I have never seen any actor in Virginia do, just to be clear. But that being said, the industry has always kind of hidden behind non-disclosure agreements, LLC names. We very often find out projects are Amazon or Microsoft after they're already built because they came in as like Mango LLC or whatever their LLC secret name was. And so they're not engaging with the community. They're actively opposing us at the State Corporation Commission when we're trying to get utility tariffs in place to ensure that the industry is paying for the additional infrastructure that needs to come online. Their lobbying group, which is called the Data Center Coalition, is actively pushing back. And some of the big tech companies are actively engaged in those conversations as well in pushing back. So we are just generally seeing an environment of we're going to do what we need to do regardless of what the impacts are. One other example I just want to highlight because I think it's really important for people who might be paying attention in Virginia is the DEQ is changing the language around how generators can be run at the...
And I'm sorry, DEQ being...
Oh, I'm sorry, the Department of Environmental Quality. Is changing the language around those generators to allow these hundreds of generators that are on every data center site to run for planned outage events for up to 14 days. And if you've ever had these generators running beside your house for even an hour, you'll understand how impactful that would be for them to run for 14 days while new transmission lines and things like that are being built. And this is the kind of stuff that just they're pushing through, and they're pushing through changes to allow for on-site gas at these sites and demand response in the form of fossil fuels at these sites, knowing that these data centers, many of them are right up next to schools, they're right up next to communities, and that's going to have real impacts. And so this industry is just all profit first and sustainability and community secondarily. And that's very problematic.
Indeed. Elizabeth Bauer, please tell me you're not facing the same problems, or tell us what's going on. And you're muted for now. Please unmute.
I'll tell you a little story. One of the industries that are the businesses that is building in Frederick County, Aligned Data Centers, initially pulled out because they were applying for an exemption from the Public Service Commission for the Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, or a CPCN. And when the Public Service Commission would not give them that exception, the governor went ahead and overrode it, and Align came back. But Align threatened to pull out completely from the project because they weren't getting what they wanted. So the governor stepped in, and Align has now come back to the project. Julie mentioned the non-disclosure agreements, and yes, that's a very scary thing to think what's going on behind closed doors. The transparency issue is a huge, huge problem. And because of a lot of problems that we've had from the site that they are developing, there's a lot of lack of trust of our county council and our county executive, that they're not protecting the citizens of the community in the way that they would like to see. East Elko is a brownfield site. And if you're familiar with a brownfield site, there are contaminants in the ground. And right now we are facing a huge uproar in the Adamstown community because there are wells that are potentially contaminated. It has not yet been confirmed whether the contaminants are coming from the brownfield or possibly from the agriculture, but the county is now being pushed to test some of these wells. And there's dirt that's flying around that could be full of contaminants as well. So we've got some unusual or some different challenges here that we're trying to address and figure out the best way forward.
Just to backtrack briefly, especially to Julie Bolthaus. So people underestimate there's a noise pollution problem, right, with data centers. Am I correct on that? And either of you can answer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there is a noise pollution issue, and it can be just simply the constant hum of the fans and the equipment that's associated with the facility, and that goes on 24/7 all night long. But then there's also the generators, and so as we're increasingly seeing the industry move towards on-site powers, because they can't get the power from the grid right now. Remember I said 47 gigawatts, and we only have 6 to 7 right now that are operating. They don't have the infrastructure to get that 47 gigawatts they want. And so as they're ramping up and they're trying to access some power, they're building on-site gas turbines or gas generators.
Which create air pollution. People should be clear on that.
Yeah, that's a lot of air. So it's a lot of noise pollution. Those things are loud. I mean, they sound like a jet engine. But also, they are putting out particulate matter and NOx, which can cause asthma and exacerbate heart condition and potentially exacerbate stroke conditions and things like that. So, I mean, these are serious public health impacts as well. But then you also just have the testing of the generators, which is also very loud and is periodic. And so there's a lot of noise that's associated with them.
For either of you, is it fair to say that there's no ongoing governmental or agency oversight to like Elizabeth Bauer, you mentioned any smart growth concept doesn't fit into the scenario you described in your last comments. So is there any ongoing oversight? We all acknowledged earlier that the coming and implementation of these data centers seems to really outstrip present regulation and policy.
In Frederick County, the oversight is lacking, most definitely. I mean, we have all these different departments that are out there that could potentially be providing oversight, but how they become aware of, I mean, they certainly have to abide by the state and county regulations, but who's monitoring that? Who's actually going out there and physically conducting these evaluations and doing the assessments? And that's, for example, the water contamination issue has been something that one individual in particular has gone before the county council for over a year with pictures and reports of contamination. And it has taken the entire Adamstown community now to get into an uproar and start pounding on the health department and the Maryland Department of the Environment to get out there and figure out what's going on. And we don't know. I mean, one of the concerns is we don't know. Is it coming from the brownfield? What is the contamination? Could very well be just from the farms. But we need to know what's causing this contamination in these tests.
And just from a bigger picture perspective, what we're seeing here in Virginia, and I think in a lot of places, is that the data centers are approved by the locality. And the locality is looking at the typical land use impacts that come from any land use. They're looking at transportation, lighting, things like that. They're not looking at regional impacts, though, because they're not really equipped to do such. And they kind of look at DEQ and the SCC and other entities as being the responsible party for dealing with those impacts. But the problem is, like, because they're not looking at the grid, they're not looking at regional air quality impacts, they're not looking at water supply at a regional planning level or the cost to ratepayers or any of that. The problem is, once they approve it, there is no other discretionary decision made by those other entities. DEQ does not look at the cumulative impacts of each of their minor air permits that they're approving for all these generators. At this point here in Loudoun County, we have nearly 5,000 diesel generators. Each one the size 2 megawatts in size. So we're not talking the generators you go and pick up at Home Depot. We're talking the size of a train car and over 5,000 of them piled up here in Loudoun County. And so there is no cumulative assessment of what does that mean for air quality. They also don't have any cumulative assessment of what is the water supply impact of all the growth that's projected in Loudoun County, Fairfax County, Maryland on the other side of the river, and then on the Rappahannock watershed. No one's looking at that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's no evaluation of what is the impact of the grid. How are we going to build 47 gigawatts? That's each gigawatt is a gas plant. Each gigawatt is a nuclear reactor. A nuclear reactor costs billions of dollars to build. You know, a gas plant takes a lot of money to build and has huge ramifications on public health. How are we going to build 47 gigawatts? But yet we just keep allowing the localities to keep on approving these data centers without ever thinking, is that okay to do? And the utility just has an obligation to serve, and DEQ just checks the boxes, and no one is taking responsibility.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to do a quick confession. It won't mitigate anything, but, you know, I'm monitoring mainstream media, and I the last few weeks, folks, forgive me for those regular listeners, it seems I'm chicken pecking at mainstream media, but the AI and data center stories you hear is that the financial bubble is going to burst. It's totally an investment or neoliberal treatment of something that needs more human consideration, more environmental consideration. And that's, quite frankly, folks, the reason why this topic is presented to you, so you can get that understanding and that perspective. This may be a good time. First of all, allow me to reintroduce you both. We're talking to Elizabeth Bauer. She's a board member and serves as chair of Envision Frederick County, and to Julie Bolthouse, director of land use for the Piedmont Environmental Council. We're talking about data centers right here on We the People. Ladies, it might be a good time. You know, 50 minutes won't solve many things. If you could tell people where they can get further information or further connectivity regarding this issue, I would appreciate it. And either one of you can go first.
Okay. You can reach me through the Maryland Data Center Analysis Group, and our email is mdanalysisgroup@gmail.com. So mdanalysisgroup@gmail.com, and phone number 240-558-8899.
And Elizabeth Bauer, what vehicles or what do you do to, in terms of like public outreach and public information? I know throughout the county there have been various public meetings that are announced, but is there something more you want to tell us?
There's nothing that we currently have for Envision Frederick County. We do outreach meetings based on different topics periodically, but we don't have anything scheduled in the near term. The Maryland Data Center Analysis Group, what we are doing is producing documents, fact-based documents periodically. So we're currently doing a monthly roundup. Now, we're brand new, so we don't have a whole lot yet, but the plan is to do a monthly roundup on the counties and what different counties are doing. A lot of what Frederick County is doing will help guide policy in other counties. They're using this as an example.
So, I know in Maryland, different county groups are beginning to become aware of each other. The folks in Prince George's County, those, I believe it's called the South County Environmental Justice Coalition. The South County Environmental Justice Coalition. I know groups like Nature Forward are involved with you all as well. Julie Bolthouse, it's your turn. Tell us about the outreach and educational efforts of the Piedmont Environmental Council.
Yeah, so first I just want to highlight that we have a couple state coalitions that are getting started focused on data center reform, and one of those is in Maryland, hosted by the Nature Forward group. So you might want to check that out if you're in Maryland, and I think a number of other states are starting to have data center reform coalitions as well. Here in Virginia, our coalition has over 40 groups that are engaged in that coalition, and those groups span from HOAs to historic preservation groups, to land trust, to watershed protection group, to climate advocacy, to you name it, basically, in the environmental world. It has an impact from data centers, and they're engaged on this issue, and they're part of that coalition. In terms of PEC specifically, our group has a webpage that I would urge you to check out. It's pecva.org/data centers. Sign up for our alerts, and you'll hear about what's going on in our region, but also about data centers in general. And our news that we put out weekly or biweekly also it covers those regional stories on data centers. Also, though, there's a couple big things going on. Actually, let me just point out that on our website, we do have some really great tools to check out where data center growth is happening and also where transmission lines are happening, great maps. But there's a couple opportunities to engage. There is the DEQ change to the definition of how emergency generators can be run. That comment period goes through December 3rd. We'll be sending out an action alert about it. If you want more information, reach out to us. But you can also check out DEQ's public comment webpage.
And again, the comments. Department of Environmental Quality.
Department of Environmental Quality. I'm sorry. I always just say DEQ. I apologize. and then also there's opportunities in front of our legislators, because PJM is trying to push forward what they're calling the critical issue fast pass with PATH, which is connecting data centers at an expedited rate. We need to push back against this because it is doing everything for the tech industry and doing nothing for communities. They are trying to allow data centers that have on-site power, which is going to most likely be in the form of fossil fuel, and it's making assumptions about them only using 70% of what they've asked for, or other assumptions like that that are going to cause grid stress and potentially reliability issues and the grid potentially going down. We also need to push our legislators to get state oversight. So just talk to your legislators about this issue and say, this is ridiculous that localities are the only entities making these decisions. They need to have the ability to, you know, make decisions within their locality, but we also need to have state oversight over this issue. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Julie Bolthouse, you're being kind. Let's extend the insinuation. It really is a time where, sadly, federal policy and federal regulations could be quite not only effective, but helpful to all the country. You know, we've got about roughly 4 minutes to go, and I'm going to be unfair, as I usually am, to our guest. Is there something further you want people to do? And it seems like, I'll just make the concession statement, data centers are here to stay. What is the reform or whatever is needful that should be done? Let's start with Elizabeth Bauer, and Julie Bolthouse will end with you.
First of all, people need to stay engaged. They need to stay on top of what's going on, educate themselves, share that information with others. We need to push for better studies. Again, I agree with Julie, pushing on our legislators is extremely important. In Maryland, there was a piece of legislation that passed last year, the data center analysis study, and the governor vetoed it, unfortunately. But a lot of these data centers are being built without proper studies being conducted in advance of the building of them. So it seems like we're putting the cart before the horse. So people need to stay engaged with their local governments and their state governments and stay on top of the legislators and the legislation being proposed.
Thank you, Elizabeth Bauer. Julie Boathouse, go ahead.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. And I would also say that you're right. We're going to have data centers and they are here to stay. And honestly, we probably want them to stay so that we can have the digital infrastructure that we have in our world functional. But that being said, we cannot allow this industry to plow over communities in the process. And whatever happens in terms of AI boom or bust, there is going to be some entities in the community that are left holding the bag. And so if we're not putting utility tariffs, basically ensuring that the industry is paying for their own infrastructure in place in every state, which is something PEC is pushing for here in this Dominion rate case in front of the SEC. We were interveners on that and submitted some what I think is very powerful testimony pushing for that industry to pay for their infrastructure. If we don't get that in place in every state and we overbuild this infrastructure and this industry goes bust, someone still has to pay for those transmission lines. Someone still has to pay for the overbuilt gas plants that we built. And then the other thing is we're stuck with whatever we build. If we allow them to build on-site gas just to rush so that they can connect, that's what we're stuck with into the future. And so we've really got to push for better and protect communities along the way.
Lives are at stake. The well-being of communities is at hand, and so I thank you. Julie Boathouse, again, Director of Land Use for the Piedmont Environmental Council. Elizabeth Bauer, board member and chair of Envision Frederick County, Maryland, and part of the Maryland Data Center Analysis Group. Thank you both, ladies, for an important discussion. It's very well appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
That does it for this edition of We the People, folks. I thank you for joining us in this hour. My thanks goes to the fellow programmers and staff of WPFW, the News and Public Affairs Department of WPFW. A friendly reminder and a shout out. Climate Fridays with Reverend Lennox Yearwood covers many things environmental on a grassroots basis. That's Fridays at 9 a.m. Through our terrestrial broadcast here at 89.3 FM, WPFWFM.org. My thanks to the able and always ready engineer, Mike Nasella. And coming up between noon and the 6 o'clock hour, 5 minutes before each hour, news headlines from the News and Public Affairs Departments. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, don't forget the blues. The Wednesday edition with Clarence the Blues Man Turner coming up next at noon. Every weekday at noon, we don't forget the blues. Again, much thanks for you joining us. And I wish you well throughout this week and beyond. Please rejoin us again. And importantly, tell a friend about WPFW. Tell them about this and other programs. It's really appreciated, folks. Thank you and take good care.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and justice wherever you are.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, asking you to support WPFW. We ask you, please, to go to the website and make a pledge, maybe $47 or $470 if you can, or $47 a month, to WPFW.org. Hey, if you want to get dinner and a show in New York, if you want to bring a guest with you, maybe your partner or daughter or son, a friend you want to meet up with in New York, watch the broadcast of Democracy Now! Live, 8 in the morning, sit on the set as we broadcast on over 1,000 stations, and then I get to personally host you for a meal, and we will toast WPFW, and it is an amazing time. We call it dinner and a show, you and your special guest. That's a $2,000 tax-deductible charitable contribution that goes directly to WPFW. Go online at WPFW.org. And by the way, you don't have to know when you can come to New York, where Democracy Now! Is based. Just make that call or go online at WPFW.org, make the pledge, and then we'll get in touch with you and work out the details. Maybe you're coming to New York soon, or it won't be for a year. This doesn't expire because we don't want WPFW to expire. Again, go to WPFW.org. And thank you so much.
Thank you, family, for standing with WPFW during our fall drive. Because of your support, we shared powerful moments. The No Kings protest, the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March, and a moving all-day broadcast on the struggles in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Listeners in the Congo downloaded our radio app, tuned in, and sent us messages of gratitude. Proof that your generosity connects people around the world. We came within $30,000 of our goal. If you are able, please help us close the gap and keep WPFW strong. Go to our website at WPFWFM.org, where you can donate or get our P.O. Box number of where to send checks. WPFW, Jazz and Justice, people-powered radio, connecting our communities globally while building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
If you're a WPFW supporter, please take a moment and record a testimonial as to why you support Jazz and Justice Radio on our testimonials hotline at 202-588-0796. Messages must be 1 minute or less. It is with your generosity that we are able to build a better world, one broadcast at a time. And we thank you.
The talk show Africa Now airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's a modern view on historical issues concerning the entire African world, addressing how African people are participating in globalization, ways in which the rest of the world continues to exploit African resources, uncovering labor violations by corrupt politicians and Western government powers. Learn what's happening now in interviews with artists, activists, scholars, and a host of other experts each episode. Listen Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Africa Now is also available on iTunes Podcast, Google Play Music, as well as SoundCloud, on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW, Washington.
The Capital Area Food Bank is offering free food distribution for federal workers starting now until the government reopens. Federal employees and contractors will need to show a government work ID to receive food. Distribution times and sites are as follows. Tuesdays, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at No Limits Outreach Ministries, 7721 Barlow Road, Hyattsville, Maryland. Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. at So What Else, 6116 Executive Boulevard, North Bethesda, Maryland. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at United Community, 7511 Fordston Road, Alexandria, Virginia. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Urban Outreach, 5343 C Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at Linda Benn Foundation, 10739 Tucker Street, Beltsville, Maryland.
WPFW, building a better world one broadcast at a time.